Now, we were doing a little bit of a study on the Holy Spirit and the life of Jesus and how that related to us. And, well, how can we finish all that up in table worship? Well, you only got 10 minutes left anyway. But let's just quickly look at a few verses in the Gospel of John. I wanted to get into the teaching of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. And most of his teaching concerning the Holy Spirit is in the Gospel of John, I've noticed. And the first place that we read the Holy Spirit mentioned by Jesus, I believe, is in John chapter 3. And many of these stories are very familiar to us, but I just want to call them to your attention. And you can look at them a little bit more carefully when you get home or back to your room. And consider the work of the Holy Spirit. Here we have the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, Pharisee. And he recognizes that Jesus is a teacher sent from God. For no man can do the miracles thou doest except God be with him. And then Jesus begins to speak to him about being born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, we don't imagine that Nicodemus actually thought that's what Jesus was saying, but it was his way of probing deeper. What do you mean by that, being born again? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. He says you need two births, Nicodemus. It's not enough to be born a natural Jew. That doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. The Jews were under that impression that because they were Jewish, they were God's chosen people, and they had the privilege of being part of God's kingdom. But Jesus explained it doesn't work that way. It's not a natural birth that brings you into the kingdom of God, but it's a spiritual birth. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so here Jesus calls our attention to the necessity of the Holy Spirit's operation in our life in order to really be born again, to see the kingdom of God, to enter into the kingdom of God. It has to be a work of His Spirit. And then he goes on and he says something interesting. He talks about the wind. Now, often the wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. But here he just mentions the mysterious working of the wind. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I don't think it means that if someone born of the Spirit, you don't know where they're coming from or where they're going. I think it has to do with the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit in their life. We can't see the wind with our natural eyes, but we see and feel the effect of it. And we can't see the Spirit of God with our natural eyes, but we can certainly experience the power, the life-changing power of God's Spirit when He comes into our lives. And that's a work that is entirely in God's hands. Sometimes people think, well, if you pray the sinner's prayer, then you're saved. People have come to me and said, I got 5 people saved this week. They got up to say the sinner's prayer, and that's it. Made another notch in my Bible, and keeping count. But certainly saying the sinner's prayer helps to bring us into a place where we can come under the working of God and line ourselves up with what God is wanting to do. But to be really born again, there has to be the breath of God, the Spirit of God that is breathed into you, and that only God can bring about. You can't force that by a prayer or anything that you do, but you have to look to the Lord and you have to open your heart to Him, and you'll know when the Spirit of God breathes upon you. I mentioned in my own experience, I had prayed the sinner's prayer many times. For there came a time when I knew that the Lord had met me, His Spirit had come into my heart, I had the witness, my spirit bore witness with His Spirit that I was a child of God. And it didn't happen the first time I prayed the sinner's prayer. For some it does. For some it does, thank God. But we just have to just place ourselves at His disposal and get down before Him and call upon Him for His mercy to be revealed to us. And then we have to believe that God will do the work, and we need to trust Him to breathe upon us new life. And so Jesus said, that's what really entering into the kingdom of God is. You have to be born of the Spirit. And I trust Nicodemus received that. We read about him later, toward the end of Jesus' life, and it seems that he responded. We thank God for that. In John chapter 4, the next time Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit is in connection with the woman at the well. And I mentioned that the first night that I came up. Let's just look at it very briefly. It says that Jesus was there at Jacob's well, there in Samaria. And a woman of Samaria came and wanted to draw water. And Jesus started up a conversation with her. "Give me to drink." And she wondered, he being a Jew, a man, how is it that he's speaking to her? And she questions him about that. "Sir, how is it that you're a Jew and you ask of me to drink, a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And he said, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." Living water. Beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. I like that. If you knew who you were talking to. You know, it's sometimes interesting to us when you read in the Gospels, people didn't know who they were talking to. And especially those two that were on their way to Emmaus after the resurrection of Jesus. Here they're talking to Jesus. "What, don't you know what went on? What, are you a stranger around here?" And it almost puts a smile on your face, because if they knew who they were talking to, they'd be listening to him. And eventually they did. Well, she didn't know who she was talking to here, but he was the one that had living water to offer her. And he mentions that. And then he goes on and he says, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again," in verse 13. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Well, she gets interested. "Give me this water so that I don't have to come here and draw any longer." And then Jesus begins to deal with her about the emptiness in her life. He calls attention to the fact that she's had five husbands, and the one that she's living with now is not her husband. And makes her to know that he sees that cry within her heart, that emptiness, that longing for something more. And he offers her the only thing that can satisfy that longing, and that's living water. It's Jesus himself, the life of Jesus, flowing into her and satisfying her deepest longing. God created us with a God-shaped hole, we're told. Nothing can satisfy, nothing can fill that void in our life but God himself. And that's what Jesus was saying to her. And so he offered her the living water, and he told her that water will be in you like a well. It'll be a constant supply. It will never run out. Whenever you need, you can draw from that source, and it will spring up in you and bring wholeness and contentment and satisfaction. And then he goes on and talks about worship. They got into a conversation about religion. And she said, "Well, we as Samaritans, we worship this way. We've been taught that that's the right way to worship. You Jews, you worship in Jerusalem, which is right. Obviously, you're a prophet. You know things about me that you have no way of knowing except God revealed it to you." And he says that the hour cometh, verse 23, "and now is, when the true worshipers of God will worship the Father," excuse me, "the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Here Jesus speaks about our worship, that it must be by the Holy Ghost. It must be from the heart, an anointed of the Holy Ghost. And that's the only kind of worship that really satisfies the heart of God. There was a longing in that woman that the Holy Spirit alone could satisfy. And here Jesus says, and there's also a longing in the heart of God that only Spirit-filled, Spirit-anointed worship coming from His children can really satisfy. It's not your rituals, it's not your religion, it's not your ceremonies, but God is looking for worship that comes from the heart and that has the anointing, the touch of the Holy Ghost upon it. That's the only type of worship that will satisfy the thirst in God's heart. And so we see the place that the Holy Spirit fills in our relationship with Him. And then let's turn quickly to John chapter 7. And there Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit in another way. In John chapter 7, the 37th verse, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly or his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And then he goes on, John goes on to explain to us that he spoke of the Spirit. That living water that flows from our innermost being is the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross, suffered for our sins. He was not yet resurrected from the dead. And so the Spirit was not yet poured out upon the church, the believers. But he said that he's going, and when he goes, he will receive that promise of the Father and send him unto us. But here he speaks about waters flowing out of us, life-giving water, flowing out like rivers. And again, that's the flow of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Praise God. God wants that river to increase in every one of us. Sometimes we feel like we just have little streams flowing out of us, little blessings that we can be to people. When God says here, "I want it to be rivers, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." In Ezekiel, we read of the river of living water that flowed from under the threshold of the temple. And Ezekiel stepped into those waters. And first it reached his ankles, then it went up to his knees perhaps, or his loins. And then it said there was so much water that he could swim in it. And that speaks of the abundance of blessing and supply of the Holy Spirit that God has for us. I heard someone speaking not too long ago on tape when they were talking about Smith Wiggles' work and how when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, God brought such a mighty change in his life, and rivers of living water really began to flow from his life. And in many different ways, God manifested himself in healing power, in preaching, under the anointing, and so on. And it said that one day he was at Niagara Falls, and he was watching those torrents of water just pour over that precipice. And he could hear the roar of it, and he could see the seemingly endless supply of water flowing and flowing and flowing. And in his heart he began to pray, "Like that, Lord, like that. That's how I want the rivers of living water to flow out from my life in its fullness, in its abundance, just as you have promised in your word." We settle for too little when Jesus has too much for us. And it pleases God when we take him at his word. "Lord, you said rivers. Make me to know the rivers of living water. Make me to know that fountain that springs up in my heart, that never runs dry. And make me to know the rivers of living water, so that through my life you can minister to anyone that you desire to, in any way that you see they have need of. And it won't be me ministering, but it will be Jesus." You know, there are times when as you minister to people, you're more conscious of the fact that it was Jesus doing it. More of Jesus and less of yourself. And you've experienced that, I know. And you testify to people or pray for people. There are times when you just sense that was the Lord. Really, that was the Lord. And we look for that because that's when something is really accomplished. It's when Jesus does it in us, when the Spirit of God flows through us, that's when the work of God is really accomplished. And fruit is born. And God wants us all to look for that. Lord, help me to look for the Holy Spirit to minister in me and through me. And Lord, not just a little bit, but give me the rivers, Lord. Give me the fountain. Give me the abundance. Now, time, I need to end, so I'm not going to go into the last part of this thought, but I certainly will direct your attention to John 14, at the end of 15, and also again in 16. There Jesus speaks very specifically about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, our Teacher, the one that guides us into all truth. Maybe we'll take that up some other time. But thank God that God has made this provision for us. And we don't have to live the Christian life in our own strength, to the best of our ability, but God wants to live through us and in us, and He's provided the Holy Spirit for that purpose. And so we've been admonished in these days, again, let's be filled with the Spirit, more greatly filled. Let's let the Spirit of God bring us more under His control and grant openings in our soul that He might express Himself more fully and more perfectly. Let's make that our prayer as we go home, and let's keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. God has done something wonderful for us at camp. Let's keep on seeking. God's going to continue to add to that work in our hearts. Praise God. And that's what the world needs. The world doesn't need you or me, but the world needs Jesus in us. The world needs the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives and through our lives. And every one of us have that honor that we can be filled with Jesus and we can reflect Him to this dying world.